All right. So, now Thursday Warriors, welcome to the show. Yay. Yeah, it's been that kind of week.
Says the one who's on vacation.
Well, yeah. I went out to the mills today to pick up my stuff and, chatted with Scott and Madison for a little bit. It was cool. I only had three stores call me on for stuff while I was on vacation, and then realized after I'd answered the phone, they went, "Oh, that's right, you're on vacation." And I went, "Yeah, but I already answered the phone." So, because I assume they've already gone through all the other channels, and they're just actually at me at that point. So,
yeah.
But it's all good. So this weekend we have stuff going on. Saturday.
Yes.
Sorry. What's up?
The convention is 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Yes.
Yeah. I assume that means we're getting hairy.
Yes.
Rock on.
Yes.
Rock on. Build that team. By the way, if anyone wants to work at our convention, you can go right to our website, hit the work for 3RC section. We do pay our staff. It's a good time. You get a shirt, you get free access to the show. It is super easy. And it is not very time consuming. So it's time consuming because you have to sit there, but it's nothing super hard. So, this weekend, Saturday, Justin's going to be at Too Groovy, set up, selling toys. Hopefully, yep. Get everything squared away and everything's not like ready to roll. I forgot to give you those table runners.
That's fine. I have the Gigunda sign. I have stuff. Worst comes to worst, I just take a giant piece of cardboard and put NDC.
Please don't do that. I don't want to yell that. I don't want to hear that. Just take all the road signs you can. Just build a shield around the. Cover the whole freaking thing so you can't even shop. No, don't do that. Saturday, he's going to be there from 10 to 4, right? I believe.
Yes. Like that.
And then you can go see our boss, Todd, at Minerva Mall on Sunday for the Pittsburgh Comics and Collectibles show. There are, I think, like 3 or 4 spots left for that, by the way. If anyone's interested, you can go to our ndcomics.com, click Pittsburgh Comics Collectible Show, and there's a link right there. You can buy your booth. Also, this weekend is Magic pre-release, which is crazy, for March of the Machines. So, come out and play some Magic. Check out the new stuff. Good times. Then the following weekend, we have the warehouse sale, which is Saturday and Sunday, dollar books, 200,000 books, crazy. And so with that, cash is preferred. We can take card, but we really would prefer to take cash. Mostly because the internet in there sucks. So it can be, if it's cold outside, it's going to be colder in the building. So even if it's hot out, bring a jacket just in case. Wear comfortable shoes that you don't mind getting dirty because the floor is very, very dusty. So that's pretty much the warehouse sale. And then 2 weeks after that, we have Free Comic Book Day, which is nuts. We're going to have a bunch of cosplayers at both Mills and Waterfront, and I think Ohio. And a couple guest artists at both Mills and Waterfront, and I also think Ohio. I haven't confirmed that yet. And then a month after that is the big shoe, Three Rivers Comic Con. You guys haven't seen it. We announced Tom Zaylor last week, and today we announced the cosplayer Oddfell, who's coming back. Aubrey's officially on board. It's been blowing up. A lot of other cosplayers are super pumped because they all love her too. They're right too. She's awesome. So make sure you check that out. Get your tickets. You can pre-order your shirts. Make sure you do that before May 1st. If you need a hotel links are up there. I also have a couple guys still in the pipe that may or may not be coming, so I'm not going to tell you who they are until I confirm, but I gave them till Saturday. So if you don't hear anything next week on the show, you know no one else is coming. but definitely check it out. We got a great, great spread of people. The stable this year is very cool. Always. But this is going to be a good year, man. This, like, our stable's pretty full, and I'm liking it. So, but yeah. So, we're going to talk about comics in a minute. But first, I want to talk about. This is an old show, so I'm not spoiling anything unless you just haven't watched it, right? I'm halfway through the 2020 version of The Stand from Paramount Plus, and it is fucking awesome. Alexander Skarsgård plays the walking dude, like the man in black, Randall Flagg, who's the devil, Whoopi Goldberg is Mother Abigail, mm-hmm. and like the rest of the stars in between are awesome. Also awesome to watch Amber Heard play a bad guy, because it's very fitting. It's just really, really good. Like, it's a very good adaptation. And they update it for now.
Like, I was gonna say, is it better than the previous miniseries from ABC? Like, when was that? Early 90s?
I haven't seen that in so long that I can't tell you yet.
But I'm still on.
Because I know what Molly Ringwald was the.
Oh yeah,
was in it.
Like, it was it.
Yeah, it was, there was really a lot good. Of got people that we know in Hollywood now that are. Like, they're always in something or in The Stand.
Right. And
I know the woman who played Mother Abigail at the time that they were filming it, she was in her 20s, but they did the whole aging with the makeup and they did an excellent job. And she was by far the best character.
1991.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And, let me see here. By the way, Ezra Miller plays the trash can man, and he actually this may be the first role I actually liked him in. Because he's just like totally bad shit crazy and likes to blow shit up. And I'm like, huh, it's like real life.
Except he doesn't blow anything up.
Right. Let's see. Oh, Jamie Sheridan played Randall Flagg, the walking dude in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Dee played Mother Abigail. Yeah. The first one. So, yeah, there was a lot. Holy shit.
Yeah, it was an all-star cast.
It's an all-star cast now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I do remember, I remember watching that because my parents let me watch it.
Mm. Rob Lowe was in it?
Yeah. Yeah, he was the deaf, one of the deaf guys.
Yeah.
And what his body?
It was very weird.
Like his body was the blonde guy from Coach.
Yeah, Bill Fagerbake.
Yes,
Fagerbake.
Yeah, he played. I guess you could say he played the autistic man to the deaf guy.
Yeah, they really make it more, like that, like more of like an autism. Style in the new one. Like, they update some stuff and it works out. I just really like it there. They do it a lot. And I forgot that it was on there and I was like, oh, I need something to watch. and I was like, oh, that's right, there's a Stand on here. So I started watching. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, it is so good. And like I said, like the casting is like freaking on the spot for this whole thing. The girl that played Mia Queen on Arrow is in it as one of the bad girls.
Okay.
Like one of the, like, it's real, real awesome. So, all right. So Yeah, so we'll talk about some more comics. We're going to talk about Mandalorian because I've named the episode Grogu Power Ranger for a reason. And we'll talk about it when we get there.
Power Ranger.
We'll talk about it before we get there.
I was going to say, Chip was so upset today about it. He's like, I'm on the hate train.
No,
he's
stop, like... stop. We're not doing this till after we talk about comics.
Okay.
Though I am very, but chipping on a hate train is like saying that this is the day that ends in Y. So, yeah. All right. So I only got through two books, so I'm going to let you go first. I didn't get any of the graphics, so I'm just going to let you go. Go
first. Okay. All right. Well,
hold it up if you have.
I don't have it on me. They're in at the store because I didn't pick them up. I read them and then I put them back in my subscription box. That's how I do it. The first one I'll do is the only one that is not the reprint. I read two reprints this week. So the first one is the Sins of Sinister number 3. Which I am, like I said, I was not the biggest fan of where they were going with some of this stuff, but I see where they're going with it. I see the end game. And I have to say, out of all the Sins of Sinister books, like The Brotherhood with Storm and the Brotherhood 1 is probably my favorite by far. Just because the last issue was Storm sacrificing herself and the rest of the mutants kind of doing it, like battling through. And I think that was 100 years after like all the shenanigans with the Sinister takeover happened. So book 3 is 1,000 years later. So was it? Pretty much all the mutants that we know are pretty much all gone at this point. Was it the John Ironfire? I don't know who that is exactly. He kind of looks like Odin in the book. Like to me, that his exterior,
I'm going to Google him on my phone while you talk about this.
He's like the last remnants of mutants, like other than Sinister is joining up with the Brotherhood because they're battling the Emma Frost mutants that are like down there. And apparently Emma Frost is still alive somehow. I don't know how that happened. Basically a lot of cloning shenanigans is going on, of course, because it is Sinister. He likes to clone things and that's his thing. But one of the clones he brings back in the book, you see, is a clone of Storm in her prime. And she's quite powerful, you know, this, that, and the other. It's kind of like the Last Stand type deal where it's them versus the Emma Frost faction. It even got like one of the awesome but weird parts is Emma Frost ends up, I don't know, I guess she's doing a, like you said, like a Power Ranger type thing. She's in a chamber inside a giant sentinel that looks exactly like her. So you have giant sentinel Power Ranger Emma Frost in space trying to take over what is left of the Brotherhood. Of course the Storm clone destroys this. It's wacky. I think this is like the last book of the Brotherhood period. I think they're only doing 3 issues. Okay. So this is like the end.
Sounds very good to me. So
yeah, but they win the battle. The Storm clone dies from radiation because so much radiation was flowing through this sentinel that she gets exposed. She just burns to death. Iron Fire is sitting there tearing because, like, I guess him and he was Storm's second hand person and right hand man and whatnot. And he's holding the clone. And then, of course, Sinister comes up behind and kills John Ironfire. So, you know, Sinister doing sinister things. And that's the end of the book. Like I said, I read one, like book one of each of the trilogy thing going on here. But by far the Brotherhood, Storm of the Brotherhood is by far my favorite part of the series. The other ones I'm like, meh, but I kind of want to see like how the story gets it. Maybe I'll read it all when it becomes like a trade paperback and it makes more sense.
But it sounds like it's stuff that's just not quite hitting all the way.
I think they're trying to do what House and Powers were, but they're completely missing.
For a second, I was thinking like Hugh Laurie House. I was like, where is he going?
No, House and Powers, you know.
Like, I figured it out after a second. Yeah. I was like, oh, no, wait, he's talking about House and Powers of X.
Yes.
Or 10, whatever it is.
Yeah. But I'm like, you guys should have just got a hold of Hickman going, hey, teach us how to do this properly, because they didn't do what he did. And I feel like this is where I don't know where the contract failing was with this, but they probably should have kept them through this whole run if they were going to do something like this. Because I feel like this didn't hit where it should have. I mean, it was still enjoyable. And like I said, I enjoyed this part of it, but the other two parts, I'm not feeling it at all. So it, you know, or maybe you should have just made all of this one book and did it that way instead of doing the three. But
yeah. I mean, that would have been an option, I think. Yeah. All right. Well, my first book is Captain Marvel 48.
There you go.
Kelly Thompson. We're wrapping up the Kelly Thompson run here in the next three issues. Number 50 is her last one. And then, which seems weird because the movie's coming soon. So that means somebody's going to take over. This whole run kind of partially takes place in Carol's mind with like all of her friends. And she's basically just fighting the Brood. And she keeps going back and forth between Binary and herself. The art in this is absolutely fantastic. Like, look at this flat splash page. Just look at that. Like, how awesome is that, right?
That's an interesting color palette.
Right?
That's what stuck out to me was the color palette.
Yeah, like this book is like, if nothing else, visually stunning. But it's kind of her taking on some personal demons with the Brood. There's an awesome Ultimate Invasion number one splash page in the middle of the book. X-23 still is dressed like Wolverine in this. Binary kind of dies. Like, this is the end of the Binary personality. And Carol's about ready to whoop some ass and blow up shit. And that's pretty much as far as I got. I really like this book. I've been reading it the whole time. It took me a little bit. Thompson's like first couple issues were a little hard to grasp onto. But she kind of made it like a Carol and Friends semi, not like Lady Avengers, not the Defenders, like, or whatever, not A-Force. There was another one too, like, wasn't the Valkyries, but there was another one where they basically were like, there's like a team of women superheroes.
Valkyrie trying to do that? She's trying to bring all the females together, going, we don't need men type thing.
No, it wasn't that. There was like another book. I want to say it was a Defenders title.
I think it was, but it was like, it was a book, odd version.
Yeah. This book has, like, it hits all the good beats of, like, the Kelly Sue run and the run before that, like, where she was in the black suit with the yellow stripe. I really enjoy this run. Kind of sad to see it ending. And it's kind of cool because, like, this is, like, the best use of binary we've gotten in, like, I don't know, 20 years. So
since the X-Men appearance.
Yeah, right? So it's been pretty good. I really, like I said, I really enjoy it. Yeah. So I'm going to go get more drink. I'll be right back. I actually have cans downstairs, so I'm just going to run down it while you do your next book. I'll be back. I can hear you, though, which is cool.
Okay. Well,
I can hear you.
Well, the next book I'm doing is a reprint that came out this week, and it's X-Men number one. I am more of an uncanny X-Men guy. I like the new team with Wolverine and Colossus, and that's the X-Men I grew up with. I did not read a lot of the pre-new team stuff, but I am, I guess, as I've aged, I've come to appreciate that era of X-Men. And I actually listened to a podcast that actually does, like, the early days of X-Men to the new team. It's really good. So I highly recommend it. I'll even look it up here on my phone here. So anybody who's interested in listening to comic books instead of maybe read, or you're busy. What is it here? Got to find the name. Oh, X-Men, the audio drama. It's by Carl Dutton. He's doing this. I started listening to it. Season one is a lot of the classic X-Men, which starts from, like, X-Men 1 into the current team. Season 2 is more of the new team, where you get introduced to Colossus, Wolverine, and Storm, and all that.
Season 1 goes all the way up to Giant Size?
Yeah. Well, it picks in, like, the battles, like their first confrontation with Magneto, which X-Men number one reads. Although I was reading it and I thought it was funny that I never knew this, that Hank McCoy was the first one to hit on Jean Grey.
Oh.
And she threw him with her telekinesis. And I'm like, I always think of Beast as very sophisticated, very gentlemanly. Yeah. And in this issue, he's just like, he's trying to, like, put his arm around her. Now, granted, this is, like, when X-Men 1 came out, it was the 60s. So this is the way guys behaved around women. She just kind of went like this, and you see him flying backwards. So I thought it was great.
they kind of did that with the First Class movie, like, sort of, but not with Jean, can't think of her name. Mystique, like, okay, where Beast was kind of, like, hitting on Mystique the whole time instead.
Yeah, but it was interesting. I read it and I'm like, okay, I see, like, where that potential is, especially after I know we don't like talking about certain stuff going on in the real world, but this actually pertains to it, of a representative from, I want to say, Florida, sitting there trying to use the X-Men to talk about prejudice, calling all trans people mutants. And I'm I sat there and wow. I'm like, I didn't have words. Well, I had a few words, but nothing I'm gonna talk about on here. But wow, I shook my head. I'm like, ah. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Not great.
No,
not great.
No.
Not awesome.
But I did enjoy reading the reprint. I do not own a X-Men number one myself. This will have to be a substitute if I ever find one down the line to add to my collection. But it's fun to have these reprints just to kind of read the story. You know, so I enjoyed it. I'm glad to inform people of this audio drama that I've been listening to this, like, between this and my Locked On Steelers podcast. Those are the two podcasts I've been listening to on regular basis here. So
that's super cool. All right, my last book, Superman Lost number 2. This picks up right where the last one left off. Lois is calling Batman, and Batman's kind of like, how's he doing? And she's like, how do you think he's doing? And he's like curled up, floating above the bed. Or sorry, he's on the floor. And he is just so freaked out. And you get to finally see the first little bit of him getting stuck in that pocket universe, or at least that's what we think it is, after going through that maelstrom storm. It's a lot of Superman falling and then randomly shows up on a place that's kind of like Earth. It's really polluted. He ends up like flying around and he finds a place that looks like Kansas. This door opens, this guy comes out, and he's like, I am Victor. He's like, my translator isn't perfect. That's not my name, it's what I am. He's like, oh, you're the Victor. So like, there's that guy. So it's really just kind of more set up as to what is actually going to go on here. But either way, it looks like he went somewhere into the far future. And, you know, we're going to see how it goes. But I'm really freaking digging this book. Like, the art's great. Storyline's good. The storyline's consistent. I've just been really, really loving it. So definitely check this book out. There are like aliens in it, like little orange alien guys. The only part that, this is gonna sound stupid, but the only thing that I really didn't like about this book is like every other page is like another Dawn of the DC freaking like Dawn of DC page. Like, to tell you about something. It just shows a lot of stuff. So other than that, I thought it was a very good book. I really enjoy it. I think people should read it. Okay. Superman's actually coming back into another good form after Bendis kind of jacked it up pretty well. come check it out.
Nice. Well, I will follow your Superman up with a Batman book. it happens to be another reprint. I got the reprint of the Vengeance of Bane, which is the whole origin and first appearance of Bane. And
you said it wrong. It's Vengeance of Bane.
Bane. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, the Vengeance of Bane.
Right?
Can we get an audio clip of them in South Park when they're threatening the UPS guy? You shouldn't have slept with our wives. All jokes aside, though, I got this book because, number one, that's one of these books that I do not have that I probably should have in my collection. But I remember reading it in book form other than comic form, because they did do a actual reading book form of it And Bane was definitely the my first supervillain, like when I was reading, first started reading comics, was my, you know, I do off and on, you know. Yeah. You know,
did you read it in a voice like that? Like never? Or did you always just read him as kind of like a deeper, like, wrestlery voice, like an Andre the Giant style?
Or it could be, oh yeah, I'm Bane. Snap into a Bane.
So yours was Randy Savage Bane. Savage Bane.
Cream of the crop.
it wasn't like Dusty Rhodes Bane and like
All American.
Yeah.
Well, it's either that or I always picture the Latino voice that they use for the animated series. Bane, which kind of fits, even though he's obviously a white dude in the book. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
But again, it's rereading it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. You know, it's for those who, you know, think of Bane kind of as a joke more or less nowadays, because they did water him down. But I remember when he first showed up and people were like, wow, holy crap, this guy's a badass. Like, he beat the crap out of Batman. You know, I remember that was a whole thing. You know, between Death of Superman and then Batman gets his butt kicked and back broken, you know, definitely controversial time at the time, you know. So it's one of those, for those who know, you know, for those who don't know, pick up a copy. It's $3. Go buy it, read it, you know. If you want to be fair, I think even an OG copy isn't very expensive unless you get it slapped. But I don't think it's a super, super expensive book.
Oh, man. Sorry. I'm paying attention, but I'm flipping through Ranger Stranger Deep Cuts number one. And it got to an ad. It's like Pop into Winter. It comes in three flavors. And it's like they're like sucking on these popsicles, but they're actually like frozen blood. And it's like comes in three flavors. O negative, AB positive, and B negative. Delicious, nutritious, and fun. Yeah.
Oh,
this book is so fucking good.
Those were my books for the week here.
Cool.
But I actually have been busy like redoing, like what we all do in our collecting hobby is going through and spring cleaning or separating books we're going to get rid of or trade in or trade or, you know, sell on whatnot, eBay, whatever, you know.
Yep.
Plus I'm updating my database on what I have and what I don't have.
Yeah. I'm not doing that while I do these. I just kind of am letting it ride.
If you don't do it though, I warn you, if you don't do it though, then you're like going back and you're like, shit, I should have done this while I was doing it.
Well, you know, I mostly am just putting them, like, it's the nice part is I'm just going through it first of stuff I want to keep, stuff I don't want, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the easy part. What I found was, I think after the last time I did one of these, I really didn't veer too off of stuff that I want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good part. A lot of the get rid ofs are like random one, like me trying a new series that I didn't like, and a couple other things that I did read the whole series, but I was just like, man, I don't really need to keep that. It wasn't that great. So, yeah. All right. So now that we're done talking comics, we can talk briefly about the Marvels trailer, if you want.
I didn't see it, so
no. Didn't have to. It's very good.
Did it come out like today?
Or? Yeah, no, it's like 2 or 3 days ago.
Okay, so, I totally missed it.
Yeah,
I saw the Ahsoka one. We could talk about the Ahsoka one. I know I've seen that one.
It was okay. It was like half a fucking Mandalorian. Like, it's like half of the scenes were from Mandalorian. So
yeah. But it was
good. It looks good. The movie looks good. Mm-hmm. It ties into Ms. Marvel. Go check it out. That's all I'm gonna
say.
All right. Now we're gonna talk about actual Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want spoilers, GTFO.
Spoilers, and please, if
spoilers.
I know nobody's negative. No one's writing us negative comments, but boy. I know people have been crapping on it this season, but
so firstly, I will say,
wow,
I do like the episode, right? And I do like the season. I think this actually might be my favorite season since one. Like, I think I like it better than two. And I like it a little more than I like Boba Fett. Like, cause the main plot was cool. Seeing like Death Star armor is awesome. Seeing like the first glimpses of the First Order is kind of neat that we see in this. Like, we get to see like the council that basically is the beginnings of the First Order.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight at the end, like the Mandalorians versus those like flying stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Was fucking awesome. Like, you can't say it was.
I thought you would have been upset because Big Blue.
Oh, I was a little sad because, but man, did he go down swinging.
Oh, yeah. He took,
he took it like a champ.
I was going to say, he took out 20 some odd of those guys.
Yeah.
And then it took the three Imperial guards guys to take him out.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, are these the same guys from Snoke's throne room?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's exactly.
Which is why I thought it was cool, a good tie-in. But the only thing that I thought was stupid, and it is purely fucking toys at this point, like, is the Grogu piloting the fucking android. Oh, Marvin's finally coming in.
Here,
we're gonna let
Marvin Grogu the mech.
Well, that's why I called it Grogu Power Ranger, because he's like Grogu, but he's in that fucking like little command box, so he looks like he's piloting the big Megazord. Oh. You know what I mean? So, you know, thanks, Marvin.
See, he heard about Grogu and he's like,
he was like, nope, not even gonna be part of this. Nope.
Fuck this. Like,
oh, wait, hold on. He's coming back. But that was like the fucking stupidest thing. Like, and then you give him a yes and no button. So it's like, so Grogu kind of has a voice and he can now run with everybody else. He just doesn't have his little fucking pod anymore. But instead, he's in a big fucking mech. Yeah. Like, that's human size, and he's just gonna go, no, 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 no. But it's just like, shut up.
Like, you, well, again,
like, he's a child. This stupid character. Yeah. Like, Grogu is my least favorite character in this stupid fucking story, like, since the beginning, because he is 100% toy merch and kids and people who think that he's cute to watch the show. But it distracts from the story so much that it just kills me sometimes. So, sorry, we're talking about Mandalorian and how much we love Grogu. Megazord pilot.
Grogu Gundam. That's what it
is. The Gundam? Okay. Gundam. I haven't watched it yet. I was watching Picard. And then.
Yes! Yes! Holy shit! This episode, Like, are you talking about this week's episode?
Yes.
Oh my god. So, oh my god, I just got goosebumps. Because the last, like, 5 minutes, right, you find out that the entire time, Jordy has been rebuilding the D, and it's perfect. It's, like, back in stock. But it's not connected to the other ships, so the Borg can't get to it, and they're now back on the bridge of the original next-gen ship. And it's like,
it's just like I when you said he's rebuilding the D, I'm like, maybe building the D.
Building that D.
It was so good. It was so good.
When I saw that ship, I was rebuilding the D, if you know what I mean.
Well, now, I mean, I think now we know why they're doing a Starfleet Academy show, because they might not have any more ensigns.
Right? Oh my god. It was crazy good, though. And there's only, like, what, one more episode?
Yeah, there's one episode, and that's it.
Yeah. There's only one more episode in Mando, too.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, but that's getting at least another season in the movie, so.
Right. Yeah, Picard's, like, legitimately getting one more episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that show has been, like, probably the best show out there, period, I think. This season for any show out there. So good.
I was going to say, I'll disagree on the best show ever, but I, as a Picard fan, I will, like, you know.
Right. Oh, and Strange New World starts on, like, June 13th, I think they finally announced.
Yeah.
So, season two.
Yeah, and then you got Secret Invasion on the 21st.
Yep. Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Where I'm hoping it's going to be more Captain America Winter Soldier-esque.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be spy action, Viva, you know, James Bond-ish, where I just hope it's not, like, totally boring. And, you know.
So have you guys looked at the theory that Fury hasn't been on Earth since before Age of Ultron?
No, but that's awesome.
So there's a scene in Captain Marvel where Fury says, "I don't eat sandwiches cut diagonally." Age of Ultron eats a sandwich cut diagonally.
Right. Huh. So your theory is that the Winter Soldier one, like, so him in Ultron and Winter Soldier, right? Because Winter Soldier came out before Ultron, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Winter Soldier, Ultron, or maybe Winter Soldier is when he left after he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, because he went underground after that too. Mm-hmm. So,
right, him and Mariah Hill, which would be also interesting to see if she's a Skrull too. But
does that mean Agent 13 is a Skrull?
I doubt it, but. Let's also think about the fact that we saw them both blip. So, or was that the Skrulls that blipped and then he came back?
Yeah.
I don't know.
it's going to be weird to try to figure it out, because even if you, like, look at his appearance in the Marvels versus his appearance on Secret Invasion, he's got a full beard on Secret Invasion. There's a beard in the Marvels.
Yeah. That's fair. But I think they said the Secret Invasion is going to take place like either right after the blip or right before the blip.
Right.
Or, I'm sorry, during the blip.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's during the blip, that means that it was the Skrull version of him that blipped out. But then how do we explain Talos being him in there? I guess this will be interesting. You're right.
Yeah.
Too many things going on. So what's going on, man? What do you want to talk about this week?
I mean, we got nothing. You know, I was down at the store today, and the sun kicked my butt, so I got back here and I fell asleep. So took me a nice little nap. I heard my phone dinging. I was like, "Who's dinging my phone?" I looked at it. Oh crap! It's John. Yeah. So you guys already talked about the show on Sunday.
Yeah, coming up. Well, we mentioned that it's coming up. Yeah.
So we'll be.
Are you guys setting up at it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Granted, I will be there. Do you know how the setup is going to be? Because I saw like store. It'll be in the hallway of Dick's.
I imagine it's just going to be down the two sides of that hallway.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not in charge of this one because, you know, I had a bunch of other stuff that came up.
I was going to say, hopefully it's better set up than they had with the, what was it? It was like they had another festival thing going on in December.
Well, they did Living Dead Weekend was in there last year. And it was in different rooms. This is just in the hallway in the corner.
So. No, this was this was the festival for Krampus that they did like a Krampus market thing. And it was right in front of the Sears on the lower end. And they just kind of blocked everything. It was very awkward. No. And it was very people kind of crunched in. So hopefully they don't set it up like that. Because I was like, I was getting claustrophobic where I'm like, too many people.
No. This is very much so like, so if you are facing Dick's Sporting Goods on the bottom floor, in the far left corner, there's a hallway that goes back to emergency exits. Those used to be enter and exit, but now they are only exit. But that's where it's going to be. And there's going to be, I think, 50 vendor tables in that space. So I don't know if it's going to be down the sides and then down the middle as well, or if it's just down the sides. I think it's just down the sides. But it should be a fun time. There's going to be a lot of comic dealers, I know. So that'll be good.
And what, Yinzer's Con is the same weekend as well?
Saturday? Saturday. Yeah, we'll be there too.
Oh, God. There's so much stuff going on Saturday. There's the Groovy Show. There's Waynesburg. There's a show in Ohio. What's the other one? Maybe Yinzer is the other thing I'm thinking of. But there's like five shows on Saturday. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, at least next year they don't have MegaCon and C2E2 on the same weekend.
Not yet.
Oh, no, they already announced dates for both shows.
I was going to say it wasn't very well thought out this year.
Yeah,
I think. Because I heard complaints from both, people there.
Right. MegaCon.
I'll tell you guys the same thing I hear all the time. It's never a good weekend. Never a good
weekend. Well, I think it was worse because they were both pulling each other's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're getting that with our show because there's people from the eastern side of the state that are like, well, it's Fan Expo. I'm going to go to Fan Expo.
Yeah.
But they're more the people that want to go see TV movie star guys. Versus we're pulling all the comic people.
Yeah.
So, or at least we're trying to pull the comic.
Plus, come on, it's Philadelphia. There's not a lot to be positive about Philadelphia out there. Come on.
They got a bell with a comic, man. How can you beat that?
Never have I ever been in a city where I've seen so many homeless people just roaming. Like I've been through fucking Hell's Kitchen, and there were not that many homeless people floating around as there were in downtown Philly. Like, it was crazy.
Vegas, you'll see a few.
Terrible. Yeah. No, Vegas, I'm talking like around the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And I don't know which one Fan Expo is at. I don't know if it's around the Pennsylvania one or if it's around, if it's at the Oaks. If at the Oaks, it'll be a little bit better. Because that's actually not in Philly. It's like just outside Philly. The Pennsylvania one, the one downtown in Chinatown, is like I'm not even kidding. You walk around the perimeter of the convention center, and you can probably count 60 homeless people.
Yeah.
Because me and a buddy would go to there's a McDonald's there, and we would go and we'd buy like $100 worth of McDoubles and just walk around and give them out. You know, good karma. Yeah. So, and they were appreciative, which is great. So it just sucks because you're like, Jesus, man.
Give it a few more years and that's how Smithfield Street will look downtown.
Oh God!
Ouch! Ouch! Jeez. I mean, there are weirdly Pittsburgh. We like hide our homeless people because we like give them
food for camps. I think I'm that's not, a Western Pennsylvania thing.
Like, so if you go down Carson Street and turn and go up by the extra space storage,
mm-hmm.
just past it under that overpass, that road that goes from like Liberty Tunnel down to Carson.
Yeah.
There is a big ass homeless camp there. And it's crazy because my wife used to work there and she'd see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it's super, super depressing. Yeah. To see that anybody would even have to be in that kind of a situation ever. So
I was going to say, it's not the only place. Here in the Latrobe area, they do that too. There's like, yeah, here in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, Mr. Rogers wasn't rich, he'd be homeless too. Because mm-hmm. it's a lot of elderly.
Neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mr. Robinson's neighborhood.
Yeah, they did a gentrification version of Mr. Robinson's neighborhood one
time, mm-hmm.
and he couldn't afford to live right. in his place anymore.
Yeah, he was like, it's called, what is it, called Squatter's Rats, children.
Yeah, exactly.
Squatter's Rats.
It's so bad, but it's so funny.
They're spot on. Man. It wasn't wrong. It
yeah, was pretty right.
much there. Yeah. That's the bad part. It wasn't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Oh.
So, if people haven't checked their previews, you let them know that The Edge and Beowulf are in this week's previews. And since I was down at the store, I saw that the new books are gone, so I guess they sold out.
Nice.
But I've been hearing sellouts at most of the stores, so that's a good thing.
I think there might be two issues at the mills, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I have to go get them. You don't know if you saw my post on Facebook. That's what I was doing around when I was going up and scooping anything that was left.
Oh, the old ones and swapping them out for new ones?
No, I would just grab like the new ones. I think your store and then, I mean, the Waterfront and Mills are the only one that has the old stuff. But I'll next time I'm down there, I'll snag them.
Oh, Cranberry might have some of the old stuff.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I meant to bring some signed stuff and some coffee to with me today. And I walked outside, got on the bus, was halfway there. I'm like, did I leave my bag outside? And like, nope, forgot to bring it. I'll be back down next week.
Having heat stroke, just you walked outside, immediately had heat stroke and went. Got on the bus.
Like,
damn it.
Where am I going?
It was only 30 degrees yesterday.
Was it at least there when you got back? That's my question.
Oh, no. I never took it out the house. Like, I didn't even have it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was sitting right by my chair, right here by the chair when I came back.
Oh. So at least it's not, at least you leave it outside. That would
it didn't get ganked, so I'm good.
Nice.
So I did.
Cool.
I got some new prints from the printer. The ones that they did currently had some staticky pages. I really wasn't happy with that. But no one complained. Except, like, one store mentioned it, but no one complained about the pages being staticky. So we're going to relist in April. So we'll get the new version of the prints that aren't sticky or staticky. He said to try it without the when he page it treatment on the page, because all the pages were glossy. It looked really good, but I'm like trying to flip through it. I'm like, these pages are all staticky. This isn't cool. And then I don't know if you looked at Beowulf, it had, I don't know if Grant missed it on the preview they sent them, or they just screwed up. One of the pages, like the dialogue is like cut in half on one of the pages. It's like,
oh, wow.
Pages cropped. Yeah.
Huh. Crazy. So,
I don't like mistakes going out, and then we have to try to figure out how to correct them, or if you have to replace those books or what. But no, cool. But
right.
Hopefully, it doesn't happen. That it doesn't happen with them again. Because if not, I'll be going to another printer. there's plenty of them. Wow. Now.
yeah. I'm gonna say everybody's back in stock now, and they're all ready to roll.
Yeah, everybody's got paper now. It's all good.
What paper? Who needs that? No. We don't have another toilet paper shortage. Come on.
No, if we do, I'm all stocked up. So
Too many comics are being printed. We can no longer.
We use all those unsold Marvel books as toilet paper, right?
Yeah. Oh shit! I told you, man. I used to call the Jim Lee X-Men 1 and Spawn 1 the emergency toilet paper back in the day.
Printed. They were worth. But the funny part about it is that there's been a mad rush for those books now. So like the prices have gone up slightly from that Spawn 1 and that X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah, Spawn's an easy $100 book.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, yeah, I remember like when you guys used to make fun of that and be like, Spawn number 1 ain't worth crap, blah, 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 blah. Now they're like, hey, do you still have that Spawn number 1? Because I'll give you $100 for it. And like, yeah.
So it's kind of like Manifest Destiny is that people complain about having so many of them, so they probably trash them. So there's plenty, now that all those have been trashed, all the ones that were bought and people to come are now have a price value on them.
Right.
Or you could go to, wasn't there a story recently where the pops, people who do the pops were throwing them in the landfills because they made too many?
Yeah, Funko did that. Yeah. They couldn't keep up the rent with their house, with the warehouses or something.
Yeah.
So they just dumped it all.
Because they also had too many coming in because all the stuff from over like from the backup was still coming in.
Yeah.
And they finally got all that stuff in there and they didn't have enough room, so they had to dump some of the older product. So that's where it was coming.
Yeah. So, you know, so, God forbid you donate to the kids or like, something.
Yeah.
I had my monthly you can't tell anybody about any of this stuff that we saw or that you're pre-ordering. But I will tell you, there are some really cool ass Funkos coming in the next couple months. And if you're a heavy metal fan, you're going to like it. That's all I'm going to say.
I did see the Vic from Megadeth there. And I was like, wow.
He sells one?
Yes.
He sells one. Who's buying? Yeah, that was one of them. I was like, holy shit, this looks good.
I didn't think Dave Mustaine would... sign off on that. I'm like,
he probably needs money. You know, donate to his
church. Between that and the was it the Ghost Rider that's Weapon X now? Yeah. He looks like Vic. And someone kept saying, he's like, did Dave Mustaine write off on that? Because if not, he could sue Marvel for hey, that's my logo for my band. What are you people doing? And they're not far off. Whoever drew it, it looks like Vic's head right on Ghost Rider. And I'm like, wow. I was like, maybe you should do your research before you drew that.
They got Disney lawyers now. They're not worried about that.
That's fair.
Yeah, but Dave Mustaine's crazy. So
some exciting
he took on Metallica. He'll take on Disney. He don't care.
Some exciting news, but we really don't have anything to show for it yet, is Justin and I's books from CBCS are finally coming back.
Mm-hmm. So,
however, we're since they're coming to the show, we're just going to have them drop them off the show. Mm-hmm. But I did ask for pictures when they come in, so we can talk about the grades and everything on them, and a bunch of stuff with signature verified and stuff. So,
cool.
I mean, the list of what we submitted is baller.
it's a cornucopia of modern stuff, Silver Age stuff.
Let me just read you off my books. An ASM 252 signed by Jim Shooter and Ron Friends. Superman Unchained 6 sketch by George Perez. Truth Red, White, and Black, number 1. Red Room number 1, Birds of Prey 8, New Mutants 87 and 98, Secret Wars 8, West Coast Avengers 45, Wonder Woman George Perez run number 1, X-Men 129, Green Lantern 85, Speedy is a Junkie, Mr. Miracle Silver Age number 1, Tales of Suspense 75, and did we say that demon was mine or yours?
The demon is mine.
Okay, cool. Then yes. So Justin has Angela number 1 signed by somebody, right?
Yeah, it's signed by the she was the artist other than Greg Capullo to do Angela.
I'm gonna read your list. I'm just gonna let everybody know they're all signed. We'll talk more in depth about them when they come in.
Yeah.
So Angela 1, Detective 675, Spawn 27, Wolverine 102.5, Wolverine Witchblade 1, Tales to Astonish 73, Death of Wolverine 1, and the Demon 1. And you think that's the modern one, right?
Yeah. That should be the blood of the demon, not the demon. And if they get that, I hope they didn't just do that with the title. I will be
Damon. It's just Matt Damon. Not actually
Matt Damon. The Damon.
Matt Damon.
Since we're on the South Park kick.
Damon.
Since we were talking about Bane talking about threatening the UPS man.
Matt Damon. All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up our week. Unless I miss anything, Marvin, you want to plug anything real quick while you're here?
Again, in the current previews, Beowulf 2, The Edge 2, and we'll be at the UserCon, and we'll be with you guys at Moreauville on Sunday. So, I mean, that's all we got for right now. I mean, this is kind of impromptu. So next time you guys got an opening, it'll just be me and I'll spill all the spill.
Okay. We'll figure it out for sometime in May. It'll be good.
So. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching. Make sure you go check out your local shop. Keep plugging away at those places. Keep everybody floating. Keep everybody's lights on. We are here for you, and you are here for us, and we love every minute of it. Support your local comics, support local creators, support all those guys, because you never know when they're going to write the next Batman. Just saying. So, thanks a lot, guys, and we will see you next week.
Good night.
See ya.